Music, banners, and floating lotus lights. It's the Buddha's birthday festival at Nanchen Temple in Wollongong, New South Wales. And all this wouldn't have been possible without the volunteers, many of whom are young, single, and Buddhist. Hello, I'm Rachel Kahn, and this is the third in the three-part series, Young, Single, and Spiritual, on the Spirit of Things. You're with RN. For some weeks prior to the Buddha's birthday celebration, a lot of hands were on deck to make it happen. And as I walked around the huge Nanchen Temple, whose name means Southern Heaven, I heard some distant drumming and followed it into an auditorium at the back of the building. And there was a rehearsal going on. I waited until the rehearsal was over to talk to the drummers, all of whom were young, mostly single, and Buddhist.
Great. Hello. You sounded fantastic.
Thank you.
How long have you been beating these drums?
Since early this morning.
I've been hitting the drums since 11 o'clock.
But surely that's not the first time you've hit these drums. Do you regularly play here?
Oh, yeah, we actually have, like, performances throughout the year. And then, so we come and practice over here. This is actually preparing for the practice for the May. So that's why we probably, like, a couple times before this one.
And, of course, May is Buddha's birthday.
Yes, it is, in the 10th and 11th of May.
And you seem to be the instructor.
I'm just the trainer. There's a teacher that came from Malaysia to teach us. So basically, I'm just teaching what he taught me.
Is this traditional Chinese drumming?
This is not actually traditional Chinese drumming. This the art itself comes from Malaysia. If I'm not wrong, it comes from the 1980s. It started out as two drums. It was meant to be a combination between art and sport. It started in Malaysia, I think in Kuala Lumpur. And then it sort of grew about 20 years now to about 24 drums. So they call it 24 season drums.
24 season drums. Now, are you all regulars here at Nanchen Temple?
Yes, we are.
What does that mean?
Basically, we are part of the young adult division of the Fo Kwang San. So we regularly come to Nanchen to help out as a volunteers, to help out in the any big events, to help out perform or do any simple tasks throughout the events and throughout the years.
So has this been a good way to come together and learn some arts along the way?
I guess so. It's kind of really fun. And then, like, you need to harmonize the sound, so eventually you're going to need to play together. So it's a good way. It is.
Is it a good way to meet people?
Yes, that's true. We make a lot of new friends, and we introduce these arts to the public as well. So there has been a lot of interest from the public.
Does this mean you were all involved in the arts before, or did you get to it through the Nanchen Temple?
We got to it through Nanchen Temple. I think the first time we started about 2 years ago, we don't have any background in drumming or arts or anything. Just we pick it up along the way, a bit of a perseverance, and yeah, and just enjoy the music.
And is this your first time too?
Not really. I started 2 years ago as well. So along the way, yeah, we train with the teachers from Malaysia. So we pick up the arts along that time.
Did you all come from Buddhist families?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you're all, I think, probably from different places. Where are you from?
Indonesia.
I could tell.
Yeah, actually, all of us are from Indonesia.
You're all from Indonesia?
Yes, we are all, but different city. Just different city.
We got a couple of people from China over there. Raise your hand.
Right. Yeah. Well, the arts are pretty big in Indonesia, aren't they?
Yeah, but we didn't get the chance to involve in a lot of arts activities back then in the temple. So I'm so glad that we can actually learn a lot of arts here and actually do our talent as well.
Now, these drums must be pretty expensive. Were they purchased for you by the Nanchen Temple?
They're basically purchased by the Nanchen Temple for us. Actually a donation from the Malaysia Temple for us, so that we can introduce the arts in Australia.
How do you think people have responded to drumming in the Nanchen Temple?
They say it's a bit noisy. But I guess some people do enjoy it as well. We get a lot of feedback from the passerbys. they do enjoy the music playing, and we do get some public who are interested to come and join us. Yeah.
Now, it looks pretty vigorous, and you're two young, slim girls. I wonder, how do you do it? Is it physically really demanding?
Not really. We just need to do a little bit of warm-up, but it's a good exercise for us as well, and even young kids are able to do it.
Yeah, we do actually have the young kids program. They're actually paying as well, so I don't think it's that hard. It should be fine.
So, making friends through the arts, is that one of the big benefits of doing something like this?
Yeah, you can basically meet a lot of new people from arts programs, especially like this ones, because we have, when we do perform, there's general public that is really interested in joining us, so we can meet new people through that. And another thing is that we can also encourage the young adult division members to come in and join us as well.
This is perhaps a deep question. You're all Buddhists and you're banging these drums. Mm-hmm. How does your Buddhism inform the way you perform or the way you enjoy this? Is this a Buddhist practice? Can it be?
Yeah, definitely, because in Buddhism we learn about living in a coexistence with other beings. So through the drum, because we need to sort of like play together as a team, not just by ourselves. So yeah, we need to know our places, know our position, know our rhythm, so that we, like different people, have different rhythm. So by being different, we can actually create a harmonious sound.
Would anyone add to that?
It's I think in Buddhism we talk a lot about self and ego. In the essence of the teaching itself, it is very easy for one people to say, I want to play in the most complex position. But sometimes in a team setting, you are willing to give up yourself. Your lesson, your ego, you maybe play in the lesser place just to help other team. So you can also incorporate the teachings into the art as well.
And I think another thing is that while we are playing the drums, it's also a good time to practice our Buddhism. That as we talk about patience, for example, one of the most easiest way to practice patience is by when you're playing drums. Like, for example, if like somebody makes a mistake, and you need to redo all of it again. So you learn to forgive someone, and you learn to be patient when playing this. Drums as well.
And does it ever put you in a sort of meditative state?
I guess so, because it's a lot of beats in there, and then if you actually know all the beats and you need to memorize it, you need to be really focused and concentrate. So I think it's a good way of actually set your mind into it. I think that's the hard part, but it's good.
So you can be mindful and beat those drums.
Good
yes,
words.
Definitely. It's a good training for me.
Mm-hmm. It's a good words.
Well, I'd love to get all of your names. You are?
I'm Herman.
I'm Freddie.
Vivia.
And I'm Miranda.
Lovely. I'm Miranda, Vivia.
Freddie.
And Herman.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight talking to you, and most especially hearing and watching you.
Thank you for your
time.
Thank you.
I'm partial to drums. They bring out some dark magic. But what a great way to volunteer, if that's what you call it. They're having a wonderful time while giving something back to the community. In fact, for the Venerable Zhu Wei of the Nantian Temple, the Buddha's birthday is the perfect time to give of yourself, according to the Dharma, the Buddha's teaching.
People come together in merriment and celebration. But at the same time, we want to bring the Dharma, which is the virtues and the values that are in everyone, together as well. We want to remind everyone that today people feel lonely because they seem to be in an isolated world. Or the technology today seems to tell people that they are connected through Facebook, through social media. They may be. However, there is this face-to-face contact in doing something together physically. I think when we come together under the marquee and seeing artworks coming up, seeing things come up from nothingness and creating a whole show, that magic and that value is what we are going to remember. And we hope that more young adults can join us in a similar way.
the Venerable Zhu Wei. I had no trouble finding young adults all around the Nantian Temple, which was a beehive of activity on the weekend prior to the celebration. And I also discovered it's almost a surrogate home for young, single Buddhists like Frank, who's actually a long way from his family home.
Frank, it's great to talk to you here at the Nantian Temple, where you are employed.
Currently, I'm working for the temple. I'm a full-time developer programmer.
And you graduated from university here?
Yeah, I got my bachelor degree in University of Wollongong and my master's degree in University of Sydney in IT, yeah.
In IT, and you're actually from China, central China.
Yeah, my hometown located in the central part of China. They have a very long history in my hometown. The province is called Henan Province, and my city is the capital city of that province. It's Zhengzhou.
Do you miss Zhengzhou?
Oh, I miss it a lot, always, yeah.
Well, what's it like to be young, single, Chinese and Buddhist in Australia?
I think to be a young, single Buddhism in Australia, I enjoy a lot of freedom and peaceful in my mind. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I can find a community in Australia which have a lot of Buddhism as well. We can make some local friends, yeah, which have the same religion with us. It's great, fabulous, yeah.
Well, in China, was there much Buddhism practiced in your home, in your hometown?
Yeah, actually, there are two very famous temples in my province. So a lot of people, they have a very high respect on the Buddhism. There are a lot of Buddhists as well.
And so here, what sort of Buddhist activities do you participate in?
Basically, as a staff, and every Thursday, we have some kind of classes taught by the abbess. She will give us some basic Buddhism fundamental knowledge. And every Saturday, we got some kind of fellowship, and a lot of young people get together and reading the Buddhism books and have some kind of topics as well. Yeah.
So it sounds like it's a good way to meet young Buddhists.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We meet a lot of friends in our community. Yeah.
So do you think that you might find someone special for you?
Might be, yeah.
Well, you're young and handsome. Are you looking for perhaps someone who you might share the rest of your life with?
Yeah, I will if I have that kind of, opportunity, the chance. Yeah. If I can't meet someone, I won't force myself to get one to spend my rest of life with her.
What sort of qualities are you looking for in a young woman?
I don't have a specific requirement. I think honest loyalty should be the fundamental requirement, yeah.
How about Buddhist values? Is it important to have someone who is also Buddhist?
Personally, I'm very open-minded. I don't mind what kind of religion she has, yeah. But if she's Buddhist as well, yeah, that's better, yeah.
Why do you think it's better?
Because if we have the same religion and we may have a lot of similarity and a common topic as well, yeah, we can, you know, join the activities in our community at the same time. It will be great.
Do you think when you said it wouldn't matter if she had some other tradition, do you think Buddhism enables you to be more open to other traditions or not?
Oh, I think so. Buddhism always teach us to be, to be general to someone else, generous, accepting the different religion, yeah. They have their characters, but they're all good, yeah. They all have their advantage. We should learn the good things from them.
So that means that you have a tradition that enables you to make connections to other people more easily.
I think so, because Buddhism always teach people to be friendly, to be honest.
Frank, do you think you're going to return to China or make your life here?
I haven't decided yet, but I prefer the life here. But I miss my family a lot. It's a really, really difficult to make the decision.
Do you visit? Can you go back to visit or not?
Of course I can, yeah, if I have enough time.
And money.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Frank, how have you found being here as a recent arrival from China, pursuing education, making friends? How have you found it?
Sometime, maybe in the initial stage, I found it's pretty hard because, you know, we got different culture background. But with the time flying, I found it's more easy for me to make new friends and get myself into this society because I have already got used to the culture here and I know more about this country. Yeah, but in the beginning, it's pretty hard, it's pretty tough. Even, you know, you can have a very good academic performance, but, you know, it's still hard for you to get yourself involved in this society because you have different mind, different culture.
Tell me, what are the cultural values back home that you miss, that you don't find here?
It's pretty hard to say, but, you know, the people in China, they are really, you know, working hard, yeah, working hard.
And you seem to be implying that here there's not as hard a work ethic.
Because people just choose different lifestyles and they, you know, value more their lifestyle. They enjoy more in their lifetime. But in China, because people now are living a very fast-paced life, yeah, they just want more in their social status so, and maybe economic situation. So they work very, very hard. Yeah, but because Australia is already a developed country and people already got a very good financial condition, so they value more in their lifestyle and they enjoy more in their lifetime.
And what do you prefer?
For me, for the first generation immigration, yeah, we have to work hard to be settled down in this country, yeah.
Are there Buddhist values that have helped you settle in?
I think to be friendly, to be honest, is always the best way, you know, to settle down in somewhere else. It just make it more easy to making friends.
Frank, it's been great talking to you, and best of luck.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Frank was so upbeat, he definitely looked like he would succeed at anything he set out to do. You're listening to The Spirit of Things on RN and Radio Australia, and this is the third in a three-part series on the young, single, and spiritual. Make sure you have a look on the website to see some of my guests today. Now, here is a youngish, single Buddhist.
Joey, how does Buddhism view youth?
I think for Buddhism, youth represent a lot of energy, so we can do a lot because of the energy. We can contribute more, we can do more. With effort, you need energy. So youth in Buddhism is very important because they are kind of like the future generation for Buddhism. So there is a saying by our master, he would say, Buddhism relies on youth, but youth needs Buddhism. So it's the two kind of going together.
More from Joey later about her life choice to remain single. In fact, I wasn't finding too many people in relationships. So when I came across Pam and Edison, I was keen to find out how they met at the temple and also what role Buddhism plays in their marriage.
It's so nice to be here at the Nantian Temple with you, Pam and Edison. What's your role here on this celebration?
My role here is to make sure all the IT tasks get done for our exhibition in April and May.
And what exhibition is that?
It's an exhibition showing the history of Buddhism from India into China and to now.
And Edison, what's your role here?
I'm actually part of the BLIA and also involved in the Buddhist birthday festival, which Pam mentioned, is in Darling Harbour, and BBEP project is part of that celebration. So I'm in the program team of Buddha's birthday festival. So I'm liaising with BBEP as well as helping out at the same time.
So are you both volunteers?
Yes, we're both volunteers here.
We are.
How long have you been volunteering at the Nantian Temple?
Over 10 years.
Yeah, we've been volunteer here since about 1998.
And why do you volunteer?
It just feels like you are getting engaged with the community and you feel being the together and able to contribute back to the community.
Yeah, well, we have a very positive energy here. Everyone is very friendly and we like to work together, and we also build up friendships through volunteering together.
I understand that you too met as volunteers. Is that right, or is that just a rumor?
Oh, yeah, let him answer that.
It was more like a bunch of us volunteers, but after that, we kind of had a get-together party. It was actually also over Easter 1 year, 2004. So we had our own gathering after all the activities here, and that's where we actually first met.
Is this a good place for young singles to meet?
Depend on what you think. It can be. I'm not very sure about other people. But for me, I think it's pretty good if you can have someone who has the same value as you, especially religions.
I want to ask you about that because, of course, you can volunteer in all sorts of places, but you have both volunteered in a Buddhist temple. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how Buddhism plays a role in your life, in your thinking.
I think, like, being volunteers here at the temple, you know that they have certain values, you know they are here to give back to the community. They are not out partying, they are not really doing drugs, doing alcohol, anything. In fact, as a Buddhist practitioner, right, you are told not to be drinking, not to have alcohol, and there's all sort of like Buddhist practice. So you know anyone you meet in the group here should actually be actually a really nice person.
Somehow, it just, I think spiritually I connected to this temple and the reverence here and the people here. Yeah, it's just been keeping me going for this long.
Pam, where are you from?
I'm from Malaysia. And I think maybe because I spiritually connected to the temple here and the reverend and the people here. So somehow I just feel I belong here and I can do more for the temple and the society.
Was Buddhism an important part of your life growing up in Malaysia?
We consider ourselves as a Buddhist, but we do not know enough about Buddhism in Malaysia. It's only just surface, just praying. But when I'm here, I get to learn more depth about Buddhism. That's the difference.
Did you always imagine that Buddhism would play a role in your life?
I always believed Buddhism, even though I did not know that much before. I just feel that it's a religion I will carry throughout my life.
What are the values of Buddhism that really are important to you?
I think doing good deeds that will kind of contribute to accumulate your merit in some way and be a better person, I guess.
You're talking there about merit and virtue. Is it also about ensuring that you are reborn in a better way?
Yeah, I hope I have good condition to reborn in a good place in future, of course.
Edison, how did you find your way here to Nantian Temple and to BLIA, Buddhist Light International?
I first got involved in probably in early 98 when the youth group here is actually doing a HSC study camp. That's for students that doing the HSC exams. So I was invited here as a tutor. I was in uni at the time. So I come here and I find out they're doing this really meaningful activity to help these HSC students, providing them a very quiet environment to actually study hard for their exam, providing them tutors for them to actually be more confident to help them with any of their questions. And because Nantian Temple and for Guangsan actually focus really much on education. So personally, I actually also value that a lot. And from there on, I kind of joined the youth group and be very much involved with that. And just probably in the last couple of years, I've joined the BLIA and be part of the committee in helping them organizing the various activities associated with the temple.
So Pam, you've both been here about 10 years. So having the same values is really the foundation of a good relationship?
I believe so. If there's a lot of difference, unless you can accept the difference of the values, otherwise it can be quite difficult to always have to convince your other partner that this is the value that you want to maintain.
And are they more important than, say, your ethnic origins? Because Edison, where are you from?
I'm from Taiwan originally, and I grew up in Australia.
So you're a Taiwanese Australian, or
yes,
an Australian Taiwanese. And Pam, you're from Malaysia, a Malaysian Australian. And do you find then that it's Buddhism more than the ethnic origins that mean a lot to you?
I think maybe the Buddhism that give us the same value in life.
I think both the ethnic and the religion play a really important role in this. It helps us connect properly. Like when our different culture background clashes, it helps us to maintain our peace and help us understand each other.
So does it ever clash?
We do. Even we are Chinese, and there's still values from the Taiwan and the Malaysian values, which is different from, yeah, sometimes we do clash. But now I think we kind of settled that a lot more because of Buddhism, I believe.
And do you have a child?
I have a child coming.
She's pregnant.
Right. Yeah. I thought I heard that somewhere. A little bird told me. So do you think Buddhism is going to play an important role in that child's life?
Definitely, yeah. I hope I can provide her with the good condition or the environment where she can learn some Buddhism and build all the confidence she needs for her future challenge.
So you already know it's a she?
Yes. Yes, it's a baby girl.
Yes. Yeah, baby girl.
And how about you? How does a Buddhist father raise a child?
Well, I want to make sure that she receives good education, not in the sense of only going to school, but also receive her spiritual education through Buddhism to actually learn to be aware of herself, basically to be a good person.
Well, it sounds like you have the makings of a very good future, both of you, Pam and Edison. It's been great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thanks.
Both Chinese, but with different national backgrounds, Pam and Edison find that Buddhism provides a common foundation that offers some practical ways of bridging some differences.
Basically, when you get into a moment where your anger kind of ready to flash, you kind of have to remind yourself to stop and to actually think about, is it what I'm going to say right? Am I accusing her of doing something that she didn't actually do, right? Or is it something I did? So essentially, if you take a moment to stop and think about it, it helps you to actually already control. Just basically don't blur out something that you will regret later.
Do you find that challenging?
I used to be very quick in my temper, and somehow since Buddhism, I think I have maintained some consciousness and calmness. When I'm dealing with anything, I'll step back for a little bit and then try to assess the situation before I act too quickly. I think this way helped me to amend a lot of relationships.
To mend a lot of relationships?
Yes, to amend a lot of relationships. Your relationship get better with a lot more people, and then I can be more understanding because everyone is so different. Sometimes it's just because of one word we get so upset, and I just, yeah, probably because of our attachment and the perception that we have about the person. Yeah, sometimes it's just not what they are doing wrong, it's ourselves. Yeah.
You mentioned attachment, and that's a very important concept in Buddhism, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think sometimes we keep thinking that's the right way, but there's so many ways in doing something. So Why are we so attached?
Can you tell me how much the nuns here help you think through these things?
I think through the interaction with the Reverend here and through the Dharma teaching, and when I look at how Reverends interact with other people, that's where I learn a lot from them, yeah.
So Venerable Zhu Wei is a good example to you?
Yeah, she is a very good example, as well as all the other reverends here.
Edison and Pam Chu met as volunteers at the Nantian Temple, which is now a popular tourist site in Wollongong, New South Wales. It's one of the 120 branch temples worldwide of the Taiwanese Fo Guangshan Buddhist Order, founded in 1967 by Xing Yun. Young, single, and Buddhist, especially if you're associated with the Nantian Temple, could end up being like how you remain. And I do mean that because people looked younger. You know that saying these days that 30 is the new 20, etc.? Well, Buddhism is like Botox. The wrinkle lines disappear in a flood of calm. Stacy, like Pam, looked not a day older than 25. She was introduced to the temple as a girl by her parents, who were among its first volunteers in the early 1990s. And she's remained a volunteer herself. This is The Spirit of Things on RN and online.
I've been only more like a weekend volunteer when I was working full-time in Sydney. But since about 3 years ago, I sort of hit a midlife crisis when I was 34, 35. And I left my job, leave without pay, and I came here just to spend more time, more engaged with the way of life here and the projects that they do here. I'm still here 3 years later, and I found a job part-time nearby, about 20 minutes drive from the temple. So that allows me to have a bit of livelihood and also still being part of this temple. Yeah.
So is your family then here at the Nantian Temple?
Everyone's my extended family here. My real family is in Sydney. But they also spend more time overseas. Now we've all grown up and become independent.
Have you ever wanted to find a partner and settle down?
It's probably not on the top of my priority list now. I just think it's something like in Buddhism, we talk about causes and conditions. So I believe when the causes and conditions are right, then if there's a partner that appears and I find it suitable, then maybe I will have a partner. But right now, I think the causes and conditions are not there for me to have a partner. Yeah.
So you're single by choice?
I would like to think that. Yes.
What are the Buddhist values that mean most to you?
I think they're more like universal value, because interestingly, I work in a Catholic high school, and I just find so much commonality. I have not found any conflict so far, and I've been there for a few months now. And the more I know about Catholic values, the more that helps me understand what Buddhist values are. I was telling, sharing with the Reverend here that I actually found ways to apply what I understand in Buddhist values in Catholicism. So for me, that's really valuable to understand each other's faith and values, because I think it shares a lot of common human values.
And did you say you live here?
Oh yeah, I live here right now most days of the week. And then on the weekend, if I need to, then I go back to Sydney.
Why do you think you decided to spend so much time in voluntary work?
It's been a way of our life since we were young. My parents had to volunteer a lot because when the temple first started, all the temple had was this many number of volunteers. So we pretty much grew up just doing the same volunteering work as our parents. For a long time, I didn't think I was volunteering. And then not long ago, I started to realize, okay, this is called volunteering, because it was like a way of life since I was young.
And what specifically is your role in the Buddha's birthday celebrations?
I've been involved for 2 years now with this Buddha's birthday education project. I do volunteering communication, secretariat work, and I travel on the roadshow with the Reverend to take this project around Australia so more people can know about this project. And we hope that people get to know more about Buddhism, Buddhist values, about Buddha himself, what he is trying to exemplify to us through his own life. I think the message of compassion, wisdom, non-self, those are very valuable lessons that we can share through this exhibition.
Stacey, when you said that in midlife, in your mid-30s, you hit a kind of roadblock, what exactly happened and what were you feeling then?
Oh, I think it started when I first went to India on a medical mission. I saw the way people live there. I get very emotional every time I talk about it. I don't know why. You feel more about how we should just care more for each other rather than just about our own, you know, everyday survival. And just to feel like you can make a difference to the world, that sort of bring awareness about what I'm doing right now, whether it's making difference to other people's life or even to my own life every day. Like, am I living in such a way that I feel I'm growing kinder as a person, or is my life contributing in some way to this world? And so this medical mission made me see the difference between the way I've always lived and the way I could live. I wanted to go back, but it wasn't very feasible. So I started looking for other ways I can contribute that is within my capacity at the time. So I looked into being more engaged with the temple work and living more simply, like the way variables are living. And by living at the temple, it allows me to do both. And so that's how I got more and more involved. And when I'm not doing this, I felt a little bit of conflict between the way of life I used to lead and the way of life I know that can lead me to a more happier, more kinder inclination. And so that sort of conflict, I think, eventually triggered this crisis.
Did you ever want to become a nun?
My friend told me that I wanted to go to Buddhist college before I was 35, but I forgot about it. My friend reminded me that. So I did attempt to go into Buddhist college when I was 34, but it didn't happen. Life has its own plan, I think, in that particular case. It didn't happen for me. But for me, I think now in Buddhism, we talk about how the real reason why you become a nun is so that you can devote yourself more to humanity. And if I feel every day I try in some way to do that, then there's no difference between how I look, whether I look like a nun or not. So that's how I get around it. Anyway, yeah.
Well, the lovely Stacey, who's decided she doesn't need to be a Buddhist nun to act like one, is for the time being dividing her life between paid work and volunteering. And that balance seemed to be the central issue that the volunteers were reckoning with. You're listening to the third part of our series, Young, Single, and Spiritual, on the Spirit of Things. Joey is a trim, diminutive woman, dressed in pants and t-shirt, short-cropped hair, and a no-nonsense kind of demeanor. Like Stacey, Joey is on her own personal journey and has made an important decision in her life to change tracks and live out the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path of Buddhism. Joey, you are the volunteer coordinator here at the Nantian Temple. How many volunteers are you in charge of?
Some are not actually really under my watch because they've been coming many, many years helping different reverends. The ones that I have come in touch with who signed up when I actually had a quick chat with them, probably about 10 by now since October.
And 10 volunteers, would they be from the surrounding locale?
Some are. I have someone who's actually coming down from Brisbane. He moved down and he's now studying in Wollongong University. But a couple of people from Camden, but mainly still coming from Sydney.
And are these volunteers all dedicated Buddhists?
Interested in Buddhism, I would say. Probably not so devout yet. They're interested and they want to do something for the temple and they want to be in the Buddhist community.
When did your association or interest in Buddhism begin?
I was born in a Buddhist family, but it's not probably until when I was in university, I'd say, that I got to know a lot of the teachings. That's probably in 95. So coincide around the same time, temple just opened as well around that time.
What prompted you to take Buddhism more seriously?
When I first visited the temple here, I was asked by a high school friend to volunteer, and it just reminded me of when I was little helping out at the temple back in my hometown, and it just felt really familiar doing chores around and helping the temple. And then when I was in uni, I think just hearing about the teachings about the Four Noble Truths and about life and the cause of why we suffer and feel pain and why, and then there's a way out of that suffering, which I got a lot out of, and I think that's probably why I continue to learn, yeah.
Did you feel that you were going through a period of real suffering?
I think back then, not knowing really what I wanted to do, even though I got into university, but I still didn't really know what I wanted to do in my life. A lot of it was just feeling quite lost, and hearing about the cause of suffering, a lot of it is how we cling to how we want things to be, and I think that really resonated with me. And then I'm starting to see how I cling to things and I desire for things and not getting what I want, and so the whole cycle started. So got to see how my life pan out then.
What sort of things were you clinging to, and what sort of things did you want that you have given away?
I think back then when I started to learn Buddhism, I really wanted to do more for Buddhism. I wanted to contribute more. But then my parents had the thinking that, oh, you have to have a career, you have to work and contribute to society. So there was that spiritual and the, yeah, material. So that was probably where I felt the torn between the two.
And so you started to volunteer here more. How much of your time is now taken up here at Nantian Temple?
I'm here 3 days in the week, and then the other 4 days I'm working at my parents' restaurant.
That's probably hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, very hard work. But I like coming to temple. I think it's a nice little breather from home and from work. So,
family is pretty important in the Chinese community.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And was it always assumed that you would work with your parents or for your parents?
No. In some ways, my parents have always wanted us to have our own career. I don't think they ever wanted us to do work what they did, which is the restaurant. So I think it's just something that I kind of felt that they needed extra hand. And while I can still support them, because I like my flexibility too, working with my parents, I have that flexibility to still contribute to the temple. But if I have a proper job, then I probably wouldn't be able to do that.
Now, you're single, you're young, Buddhist, and single. Is that by decision?
Yes. Probably a few years back, just said to my parents, yeah, I'm just not thinking of marriage. Then my mom did try to say, oh, but, you know, what if you meet someone, or never say no? I said, well, quite happy, you know, because I think the mentality is that having someone to look after you. So then I throw her back the question. I say, well, there's no guarantee. What if I have to look after the person? So it will be always nice to have a companion, but I think there's no guarantee that the person will always be there for you. I'm surrounded by a lot of friends, and the temple, the community here, I just really don't feel there's a need for that kind of companion, I think.
Do you think it's easier being single if you're Buddhist?
I think you probably get the support. I think a lot of people who are married at the temple will tell us, yeah, you make the good choice. Because I think without being bound by family commitments, which means we can actually make more contributions to the temple.
So your commitment is to the temple, to a wider community?
Well, with the temple, they run a lot of events and they run at all, they call it activities here, that sort of reaches out to different kinds of people. And through the different groups that we have, the BRIA, which is the Buddhist Light International Association, through that we also have our activities there. We do reach out to different kind of people.
The Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, can you tell me about them and which ones mean most to you?
Well, the first one is, it says that life is dukkha, which means life is suffering. Actually, it's probably much better to be described as unsatisfactoriness in life. Then the second is the cause of that dukkha. And the third is the way out. There's a cessation. And then fourth one is the path that leads you to that cessation. So I think for me, it's the last one, the path that will lead you to the cessation, which is the path that we talk about. It's the Eightfold Path, which is a set of guidelines which will tell you how to work towards that cessation.
And do you feel that you adhere to the Eightfold Path day in and day out? Do you try?
Yes. Well, one thing is choosing the right livelihood, like working for the temple. That to me is very important. Choosing a livelihood, like a career that I actually am quite passionate about. And of course, the first one is right understanding. It's my view on life and on the world. So I think those two are probably the two for me.
Well, I've noticed that amongst people who are working at the temple, they seem to be perpetually young, young mm-hmm. forever.
I think we just look young. We just look young.
Well, you must be doing something right.
I think Buddhism, maybe it's the fact that it's helped me to accept things that I cannot change and accept things that I can change and be proactive in making those changes. But at the same time, knowing that I can't control a lot of the conditions that I'm in. So it's sort of the dance of the two. Sometimes just knowing that, oh, okay, right now I just got to accept it. And I think letting go is probably one thing that maybe to looking young.
Do you think one of the most difficult things people have is accepting that they themselves are who they are and they can't change some things?
Yes, how we are, especially with the looks, how we look, it's the past actions that resulted in how I look. So we talk about karma. So this is pretty much my karma as how I look. That's something I can't change. But it is something that a result of what I've done in my past lives. So for one thing, those kind of things we can't change, then we tend to just accept.
Well, you look mighty fine to me.
Yeah, well, can't change it, so I've got to accept it. But in terms of, well, going back to what I was talking about, the whole clinging and desire, the other concept of Buddhism we talk about, impermanence, which is the changes that happens every day, which is something you can't control. And aging is just part of it. So no matter how much you like things to be, everything changes every day. So that helps us, again, to accept that as, you know, you're young now, but through the aging process, eventually, it's just part of life, experience that we go through.
Is there enough appreciation for those who become old?
Yes. A lot of our devotees have been with the temple for over 20 years, and they're still around. There's a lot of them are now in nursing homes, and the reverends acknowledge that, and they do actually go out there and visit them at the nursing homes. There's room for the elderly at the temple as well. They have a community there because they have friends. They kind of been volunteering over the years. So we do look upon the elderly as part of life. Some of them are still quite active in our BRIA as advisors because they have the life experiences, so they actually come and share their experiences with us.
What about young Buddhists who don't volunteer?
I think what they're missing out is probably the community, I would say. They have the youthfulness, they have the energy to do a lot. Of course, you can do a lot. But I think through volunteering, the friends that we meet here, the friendship, I think a lot of us, very different friends from outside. A lot of us say that there is something, I guess, you know, because the worldview is very different. I think we shared something quite personal. There is this common caring, which is like, you're my brother and sister, that kind of brother and sisterhood, a bit like that. So the feeling is quite close, but yet, if you ask me what they do for a living, I might not know, but it's a different kind of connection.
So it sounds like it's harder to feel lonely if you're a volunteering member of Nantian.
Yeah, definitely. The community, everywhere we go, we're surrounded by people who care.
And so if you do fall into a period of despair, how easy is it to turn to someone here?
I mean, for me, there's a couple of reverends who I'm quite close to. Definitely I share some of what's been going on in my life. Some of them I can share those with. And some friends here, I've known them for many years, a couple of them I actually share with. But if you're talking about someone from outside, I think with anywhere you go, it's really about reaching out to people, because if you come to the temple is very big. You walk around, maybe if you don't make it known to people that you want to speak to someone, they may not actually make that connection with you. So if you're in despair, I think just let us know and there will be someone there to be ready to speak to you.
Joey, thank you so much for being on The Spirit of Things.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, was I all wrong about finding a mate while being a volunteer at the Nantian Temple? Sarah, a volunteer at the Buddha's birthday celebrations, had this to say.
Maybe to an extent, but I don't think that that's why people come here necessarily or what it's about. You know, Buddhism is all about refraining from desire and going deeper, figuring out what really matters. So it's not necessarily about finding the one or finding the right person. I'm sure it happens sometimes. I haven't seen it, but there are lots of nice people around, so I'm sure there's opportunities if you've got a keen eye that's out looking.
Properly chastened, I guess there's a whole other story to be done on how Buddhists tame desire but keep the fire alive in their relationships. That's for another time. But if you're young, single, and Buddhist, there's obviously no burning need to find a partner, especially if you feel the whole community provides you with all the relationships you want. Thanks to Anna Tiwari for the fantastic photos and video of the Young, Single, and Spiritual series. Find it on the Spirit of Things website, along with a picture gallery and helpful links to the Nantian Temple. And thanks to them for allowing us to crash the Buddha's birthday party. Production was also by me and Jeff Wood, with sound engineering by Joe Wallace. Next week, the most beautiful religious art of the Western world from the Prado Museum in Madrid, now at the National Gallery of Victoria in Melbourne. Bums, babes, and beatified saints. They're all part of the religious imagination, right here on The Spirit of Things with me, Rachel Kahn, on RN.
It's Michael Cathcart here from Books and Arts Daily with a wonderful week of listening for you here online. You'll hear some of the very moving music to come out of the First World War with music buff Chris Latham. You'll discover how crime writer Val McDermott updated the very first novel of Jane Austen, and theatre commentator Julian Merrick calls for the establishment of an Australian National Theatre. That's Books and Arts. You can download us here at the RN website.